Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the ceremony tonight. We're going to gather together and perform a winter solstice ceremony for you. And coming into that, we'd like to play a little bit of appropriate music for Yule.
A fire is burning, the long night draws me near. All who need comfort are welcome by here. Who thanks needs the star and gold shall pass here. For the spirit of solstice is shivering here. Will come all our blessings, wealth mother lay down with snow as a blanket covering the ground. Thanks to the mother for the life that she brings, she'll wake into warmth again.
Like everybody to go through and introduce themselves, and I'll call your name, and we can do it that way. Ra?
Yeah, I'm Ra, Ruth Anna Marte Fio, and you can find me on Era Marte Fio at Blog Talk Radio. And I want to thank Gwen for making time available on her station for another one of the ceremonies.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, and then Terry, will you introduce yourself to us?
Yes, my name's Terry Calk, and I'm a very eclectic witch and agnostic Christian priest and hermetic Viking from the elven worlds, and I'm down in southern Indiana right now on the Fairy Hill Farm.
Ooh, sounds like fun.
It's beautiful.
It is nature.
It is.
And Casey, are you there with us? Casey?
I am. Hello, everyone. Sorry, I had you on mute. I'm Casey, and I'm Ruthann's cohort and brother.
Okay, and Nathaniel, you're with us tonight, too?
Yes, I am. Hi, Nathaniel Stiles, the Otumba Foshumba Day of the Oshun Kingdom, Nigeria, the Nana Kwaku of the Akan of Ghana, the co-founder and visionary of the Oshun Village and African Caribbean Cultural Arts Quarter in Miami, Florida. Thank you for having us, Gwen.
Oh, you're most welcome. And of course, Anita.
I'm Anita Stewart from Wise Women Media, the radio show, and Challenging the Rhetoric. And thank you for allowing us to have this sacred space tonight.
You're welcome, Anita. Okay. So, please excuse me. I'm sorry. So I have a little intro to read, and then we're going to begin. And I sent around an email. But when we open our circle tonight, after I read an introduction, Terry will begin with us in the East. And then, excuse me, and then in the West, in the
in
South.
In the South is Ra.
with fire. In the West is water with Nathaniel. And in the North is earth with Anita. And spirit is being called in by Casey. And then I'm going to call for the spirits of Christmas. Excuse me, Yule.
it's okay.
Here I am. So our ancestors celebrated midwinter as a time of uncertainty when food might become scarce, when village healers were burdened with caring for so much of what we take in stride today. And it was a time when the countryside longed for good news from leadership of the land. Some good stewards of the land would make rounds to pass out food and staples in their communities. The word neighbor had a much more different meaning then. It was a bond between people who shared the good times and sunshine moments and depended upon each other during the harshness of the elements and the seasons, the heavy burdens placed upon them by corrupt or evil leadership, and the commitment to keeping all the children safe. Now, as we look around our world today, it's a comfort to know that we can still be that kind of community. In many different ways, we can assist each other through harsh times and celebrate with each other during good times. We've become a global community, united through cyberspace and cooperating with one another to make a better world. Uniquely grouped in many different countries, among many different cultures, professions, and on and on and on, yet we have one large superhighway where we might meet or travel to exchange and find common ground. We're using it right now. This on-air celebration is just one facet or venue of a planetary community. Beyond the restrictions of isolation by nation, partisanship that threatens to divide through religious, cultural, or financial oppression, on our superhighway we can reach out to each other as humanity and make the large changes that we envision for a healthy world. So midwinter solstice was a time of storytelling, and today we're able to tell our own stories to strangers and friends alike. We're connected consciously more than any other recorded time in the story of our evolution. And traditionally, winter solstice marked the moment when the Earth Mother shifted in our hemisphere into moving towards the light. With each day now, we progress more into the sunshine. Together, we can work towards a more sustainable and respect-based planetary community. We can progress into the light of understanding and friendship, sharing our stories with each other. And this is what we're doing now. This is a part of that. So beginning with opening a circle of many traditions here, we're going to begin with some staple, some very traditionally calling the different directions. And we'll begin in the east with the element of air.
Sword of air and light of mind, breath of life clear and fine, as eagles fly over newborn sylphs and springtime dawns, a seed of birth. I am the elemental air child resurrection, dead and buried, soon arisen, solar winged, star of perfection, I am. Huff, puff, thunder chuff, out of silence, soft or rough, gasp, snort, chortle, wheeze, gas expulsion, laugh, sneeze, inhaling the sky, it's life we breathe, words, speech, whisper on the breeze, blow, zephyr, blow, tornado, whirlwind, listen to the song, melody on the wind.
Beautiful.
Air, be with us.
Welcome, air.
Blessed be.
red, orange, yellow. As you blend your colors together, come to us, the element of fire. We ask that you bring the passion the fire represents, the heat. Our sun is coming back, being reborn. The warmth is in the land. Help us to acknowledge and let us work with you in whatever ways you may need for us to accomplish what we need to. Fire from the south, we welcome you.
Blessed be.
I open the and address the spirits of the West, the water spirits. Oriyoshon, Yamoja Olodo, Olokun, guardian of the mysterious sea. We thank you for your divine essence, the embryonic fluid that nurture us, allowing us to reach our full stage of humanity. We acknowledge the water and know that when there is water, there is life. Order you here.
Welcome.
Ashe.
Come out of me.
Okay.
North. Direction of mystery. Winter. The dark brown and black of the soil. Archangel Uriel, the bear, the mother goddess, the crone, the ancestors and spirits, the dark moon, the divine mystery. Ability. This is the occult. This is what's under the earth. Not just the earth as a cover, but what's under the earth and the grounding of all of us. We welcome the elementals of the north, of earth. Bring us the gifts of patience, endurance, stability, fertility, and prosperity to this circle. So mote it be.
So mote it be.
As it is.
Yeah.
Spiritus, the breath of life that takes within it the spark of life, that takes within it the emotion of life, that feeds it into the womb, which is our Mother Earth. Spirit of 10,000 names times 10,000 names, we welcome you to our circle. Hail and welcome.
Hail and welcome.
Somewhat it be. With our circle cast, I would invoke the spirit. I'm sorry, is there an echo? Just a moment. I invoke the spirit, the guiding light of the sun. There is the story of the Holly King and the Oak King. And tonight, I would invite to our circle both of them, one coming, one leaving, and of course they are but one together. The light that fades, the light that grows. We welcome the light that grows with the Oak King tonight.
Welcome.
So winter solstice is that time when we always begin to create, visualize, envision what we're going to do during the fertile times. I mean, this is a traditional spiritual walk I'm talking about. So I think maybe if we go around the circle, and we talk about, and I think everybody should talk or focus on exactly what their storytelling will be, you know, is comfortable for them. I'm going to speak last in this, and my idea is to talk about what I'd like to plant the seed for seeing into the future of 2015, what I would like to see happen during this next year. So does that sound good to folks, to the circle?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Excellent.
So why don't we begin?
Yep.
Why don't we begin with air, Terry?
Air. Okay. Very briefly, I just want to say that I grew up in a Congregationalist church, found in about 1970. That it was not broad enough for my taste. And then I felt that there was something larger. I went on to study Hermeticism, Gnostic Christianity. I've been a solitary witch since 1971. I've explored the heathen Viking traditions, the Hindu traditions, Taoism, and eventually had some contact with some other beings, which most people would refer to as elves, and they were planet planters. So I come from, my tradition, I would say, comes from the place of the cycle of the seed and nature, and solstice being the point where the seed is in the ground. I have a little something I'd like to read to you here that I wrote years ago that ties in, is like kind of the core of my myth and my story. 'Twas a cold, dark, silent night of barren dirt and frozen seen stark within the snow-covered evergreen pine forest white. Deep inside the yawning mouth of hidden cave and womb of earth resound the rhythms of echoing gnome drums and marching mail-clad dwarfs. Cut hay and bed of straw, animal warmth, spiced log fire, bayberry, cedar, pine, wreath-ringed rock strewn with mistletoe and oak, garland stone, cradled crest, hollowed within the mother's egg, a black snuffed candle sits, awaits the gift. Kneeling in the cavern's mouth, hands cupped to hold dormant seeds, a precious promise, offerings to a brilliant star beam, shine soul path from above. Enter now the Christmas seed and Yuletide babe into the womb, shield before birth, dream of hope, wintertide faith, fire into earth on a lonely midnight. Days are short and night is long, let us sing the wintertide song. Stars above and earth below, holy midnight that we know, silent night within the womb, here be mating in the tomb, link the depths to the high, drawing magic from the sky. Om, Mom, Mom, oh, sacred seeds are coming home. Ah, Ma, Ma, ah, Om, oh, Mom, oh, moan. This is the time in which the dreams are enter the seeds that we hold, the seeds that we have from our harvest. These are the, this is the beginning of the year, the where we charge and put into the seeds the very essence of what we wish to see in the coming full season.
That was beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Yes, that's how I view it. And you know, I've been over the years many festivals, many different traditions, and I think, you know, it's fine to have your a Celtic layer, a Viking layer, you know, and there's all these cultural symbols, but I was trying to, like, bring together in that many symbols from many different traditions,
right.
Because there's that common thread that runs through us all, and that's what what I see this season as, the time to find that common thread and bring it together. Thank
beautiful.
You.
That was beautiful, Terry. Thank you.
Nice work.
Ra?
Well, I don't have a story as such, but like you were talking about what you want to plant the seed for to come to fruition this coming year. I would like to be able, on a personal level, to open, I'm pretty open now, but open even more to the knowledge and the possibilities, because I am of the firm belief that ascension is upon us, and we have actually many people on this earth's plane right now are hitting into the fifth dimension. And it's funny because you can see how people who at one point were very much absorbed by material things and all, very third dimensional people, have passed through that. And, you know, they left like the fourth dimension, the astral planes and all. They've been doing work there and now are into the fifth, which is amazing. And I think that this coming year, 2015, is going to see a lot of people in changing dimensions. And with that, you know, we know that it only takes a few people to make major changes. So if we hold that energy, keep that energy and hold it, we are not just changing our own vibration, but we're changing the vibration of the planet. And so when we get to that crucial mark, you know, so many people will be coming into the fifth dimension. So I just think that 2015 is going to be an amazing year. We've been having several amazing years, but I think that it's going to pretty much knock our socks off. And I'm very excited about it. And just this time right now, here in the Nohem, in the area where it does get cold, and people go inward, I think it's a real good time to be searching out our innermost thoughts and aligning ourselves with this new dimension, because it's not always easy. Change can be pretty gruesome sometimes, or at least we do fear, and this is one of the things that we're getting rid of as we go through this ascension. So, once again, I'm just very optimistic, and that's all I'll say right now. On to you, Nathaniel.
Okay. I honor to all the divine forces in the universe. As an African woman, we've had to relearn our customs and traditions. Grew up under the tutelage of Her Holiness Grandmother Rosette Miller, and was really raised in metaphysics. We were exposed to a lot of the ancient customs and traditions, such as all the solstices, the January 6th being Three Kings Day, the planting of the pole. So a lot of ancient traditions.
Nathaniel, you're going in and out. Nana, you're going in and out. You're going in and out.
Are you hearing me now?
Yes,
I'm hearing you now. Very
well. Okay. I don't know where I dropped. But in my teens, I began to follow the path of both my Yoruba West African as well as Akan of Ghana ancestors. On the 10th of December, the Orisha, or traditional Yoruba community throughout the diaspora, united on a campaign called the World Peace and Healing Initiative. So for 12 days internationally, the Orisha practitioners wore white and every day did collective meditations for world peace and healing. And considering the various things that are happening throughout the universe, I feel that this is a very, very apropos topic for us to focus on. In the tradition of the Yoruba, the 17th of December is the day of St. Lazarus, who in the Yoruba tradition is Baba Luaye, St. Lazarus in the Catholic Church. And for those of you who are aware of the Yoruba practices, the tradition was veiled throughout South America and the Caribbean and Creolized, but homage is still paid to the Yoruba roots. So and it's on that particular day as well that President Obama announced his new initiatives and opening up relations with Cuba. And with that in mind, the ruling saint in the Catholic Church, who's also the Yoruba deity Oshun, called Caridad del Cobre in the Catholic Church. So overall, we're asking for a spirit of peace and sweetness. And on that note, I'm going to share with you Hidden Power Oshun, the 17th sacred Odu. From Oshogbo in Oshun State to Loro in Ekiti, from Ibadan in Oyo to Igbenu in Kwara State, and throughout the Yoruba diaspora in the Caribbean, Latin America, North America, the Yoruba continue to venerate their powerful female Orisha deity, Oshun. The images alluding to her presence and power are as diverse as the people and the geographical locations where she's worshipped. Thus, the definition of Oshun's identity extends beyond Oshogbo in Nigeria and many other Yoruba towns where she's believed to have turned into the Oshun River and where festivals are held in her honor annually. Equally complex is Oshun's personality, which has largely been constructed according to her worshippers, differing needs and spiritual goals. Be that as it may, there are a few generally held beliefs about Oshun. Namely, she embodies the very substance of the water we drink, with her fan or abebe, a noun form from the verb be, to beg. She begs the air we breathe. She cools and purifies it, neutralizing its negative contents. And by virtue of her profession as the foremost hair plaiting expert in Yoruba mythology, she affects the destinies of all beings and the Orisha in profound ways. A well-known Oriki introduces her, Oshun, the embodiment of grace and beauty, the preeminent with her beaded comb, powerfully controller of the estuary, proprietor-in-chief of the city of Lagos, a splendid woman who cannot be embraced around the world. Oshun.
Beautiful. Oh, thank you.
That was wonderful, man.
You're welcome.
Mm. Beautiful.
Anita.
Okay, I'm actually just thinking so hard about how my traditions have been so different because as a pagan, I mean, as raised as Roman Catholic, but then as a pagan, it was very feminist. I don't want to say Dianic. I'd rather say women's spirit. Reclaiming is my tradition of choice and probably a combination of all of that. So my strong association with the season of Yule is the mother giving birth. And I have a little poem here. Since the beginning of time, we have gathered in this season to celebrate the rebirth of the sun. On the winter solstice, the darkest of nights, the goddess becomes the great mother and once again gives birth to the sun and the new yearly cycle, bringing new light and hope to all on earth. On the longest night of winter and the dark night of our souls, there springs the new spark of hope, the sacred fire, the light of the world. We gather tonight to await the new light. On this night, the maiden, who is also the mother and crone, prepares to welcome the sun. Let's now prepare to welcome the new light within. And I think it's important to note that so much of that was taken by, so much of the tradition, the old ways, was taken by the Christian traditions. A lot of the special signatory representations of this special day such as the Yule log, the representation of the Wheel of the Year, because the wheel was represented Yule and the changing of the wheel, the turning forward. Even mistletoe and the wassail, the drink, the blood and wine, so much of our tradition, even the colors, has turned into the modern day Christmas. But these were all ways of the old ways. And I think it's important that people who might be listening tonight that are not pagan, that they understand that those are the old ways that they're actually celebrating. The origin of the word Yule has several suggested meanings. One was Gaiola or Joel, a pagan festival celebrated at winter solstice, or the Anglo-Saxon word for the festival of the winter solstice, Yule, meaning wheel. So as I said before, it's the turning forward of that wheel that signifies this holiday. And, of course, the darkness, the darkest and longest night, turning forward and every day getting more and more light. So, Merry Yule, everyone.
Yeah.
Casey. Sorry, Kath, I could get off mute here. So I don't have a poem to read, and I don't have any special words, but what I would like to share is the fact that from the time of the beginning of the dark of the year to now the zenith of the dark of the year anyway, this is my favorite time of year, and this is the time when introspection is at its height, and it's time to hunker down, bundle under covers, and enjoy the darkness for what it is. So I don't necessarily celebrate the return of the light at this point, but celebrate it for its being the longest night and the longest time for me to spend time with myself. And as part of that, this is also a time when we start to really make some decisions, some deep decisions about what we're going to be doing over the next year, as most of you have talked about. I know Ruthann and I have talked about this in depth as well ourselves. This year, I have done some thinking, and I would like to focus on a couple distinct keys that I would like to use and use them to open some doors, hopefully. One of them is that I want to build my empathy even more, and that's something I've been working on for several years, and I've already received some of the fruits of that, so that's wonderful, and I'm very, very thankful for that. The next thing is I want to harvest happiness and harvest the good, as it were. So I'm looking this year to find the good in even the darkest of situations, according to people's judgments of those situations anyway. And I know I spoke about that as well on Samhain at our last ritual. I would also like to begin to work with my emotional side. So this is going to be very much of a water year for me. So I would like to be able to have more control over my emotions and use that control to be more clear and be more influential on not only myself but other people in the realms that I work in my daily world anyway. So those are the things that I'm celebrating tonight and looking forward to throughout the next part of the year. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
My own wish for this coming year is that things continue, because just as Nathaniel pointed out, the great opening of our neighborhood down here back to Cuba, which is really a very wonderful thing happening. It also opens, it extends the hand of friendship again. And with that, I would really like to hold the meditation going forward through 2015 that even if our leadership can't get it, we can get it. And we can get it by reaching out to one another. We have this wonderful tool that we're using now. We also can do it ground it all in our own communities, going out there and extending the hand of friendship to people. The more, too, that people know what's exactly happening, I would really like to see the light begin to shine and open up the falsehoods that we've been living beneath for so many years. I think we're watching that happen. And no matter whether it's politics or it's health or what it is, there are just so many things that we have thought for so long, or we've been duped into thinking, that are now becoming honest information that we can find. I'd really like to see that opening up bigger and brighter in 2015, because when people know, they make different choices. With knowledge, we're changed. Just as Ross said that she would like to be open to new learning and quickening of knowledge she hasn't yet found. I would hope that not just for myself, but for people on this planet in general, so that we can reach out to one another and share with each other more and more. It's happening.
It's happening.
It is happening. People are doing that. Many different folks from many different places find common ground in just wanting peace. And so, to put a period to the end of it, I would basically extend to into 2015 that military and violent actions across this planet begin to recede under the scrutiny of people becoming aware of what's really going on. And peace, warmth, and community. So, with that said, does anybody, we have some time here, does anybody have any Yule memories that they'd like to share?
Well, go ahead. Well, I was going to say that something that Casey and I did for several years with our group, and we haven't done this now recently, but we would drum the sun up at solstice time, at winter solstice, and either over Lake Michigan or the Kankakee River. And, you know, we're not saying it was real warm those mornings or the nights we stayed up all night, but it was very cool. Well, cool, yes, it was. But it was fun. And it was one of those things, like, you can imagine the ancestors way, way, way back doing something like that. So that's one of my fond memories of Yule time.
That's like orchestrating.
Oh, that's good.
I concur.
I'll throw in one.
Go ahead.
Many years ago, some friends of mine and we got together. It was in a very cold cabin up on a ridge here in southern Indiana, and we had a major snowstorm, and it was one of those evenings where they were saying on the radio, don't even go outside because you might die. And so it was very, very cold. And we had one little wood stove, and we were all huddled around that wood stove, feeding it whatever we could to stay warm. So it was, death was very close, to say the least. And I remember looking at, it was all my brothers were with me, and we looked at each other, and suddenly I could see through time and could see us from the earliest days of humanity all the way back to where we were, and went, this is what it's all about, taking care of each other, huddling around the fire, you know, making sure that we were all going to survive. And that was, that's my fondest memory of you all.
Yeah.
You know, and just want to add that, you know, this is, for me, this is all about the earth and taking care of nature and, you know, and at the core, boy, this is the time to make sure you really start thinking about your garden this year. You know?
That's what I told people. Get those seed catalogs going.
If you can't have a garden, help some community project or something about gardening. You know, make something happen that establishes and reaffirms those connections to nature and the cycles of nature, because the civilization which many of us have grown up is so divorced from nature, and that's why we have so many problems. So just want to say it's all about returning to nature and finding a way to do that. And that doesn't mean being primitive either. And as Ruthann knows, I live in a solar electric powered house that recycles all its water and waste.
Exactly. So a beautiful place and a beautiful location, and you're very aware of nature surrounding you. Yes,
and it's right here in the house, in the greenhouse and everything.
Yes,
and we try to bring all the elements together right here, because this, you know, people say, "Where's your altar, Terry?" I said, "I live inside it."
And Terry lives in what might be called an earthship, sort of.
Yes.
What are, Miss Nana, what are you going to be planting for the new year?
World peace and healing. World peace and healing, and really utilizing the Sacred Journeys platform that's being created. For those who don't know, I'm featured in one of the 6-part series on PBS called Sacred Journeys. It's actually on tonight. And what they did was they trailed Americans going on voyages of faith to 6 major spiritual centers in the world, including someone went to Jerusalem, someone went on Hajj to Mecca, a Buddhist went to Japan, someone went to one of the largest pilgrimages in the world with over 1 million people attending. It happens every 12 years in India.
I
went to Osun-Osogbo, Nigeria. And it's the first time an African pilgrimage is really being acknowledged along with other world spiritual movements. So it's quite an honor to be featured. The Osun-Osogbo segment that I will be featured in is on next Tuesday, the 30th of December. So I'm basically using this platform to really enlighten and to amplify my voice as a conduit for peace, healing, and development.
That's wonderful. Those Sacred Journeys are really wonderful. Are really wonderful programs. If you haven't seen them, they're worthwhile. These pilgrimages that people take are extraordinary. Of course, going on a pilgrimage, I think the one that I've done, I always thought going over to Stonehenge and seeing the standing stones was one of the major ones I did. But, you know, in retrospect, one of my most cherished pilgrimages has been driving through America. Asa and I drove a medicine wheel through the country. And
wow.
It was wonderful. One of my favorite places, and it's very special to me, is out at the Four Corners, Canyon de Chelly, backed up against Monument Valley, the home of the spider grandmother. That's where you'll find me.
I'd like to see that.
It was really quite wonderful. I think that also in this new year, there's something that all of us can do. I know that Nana does in any way, and all of us do. But placing emphasis on the respect and regeneration of the place in the community of our elders, really important. You know, not just because we're becoming them, but because basically we're losing a lot of our real elders. Not a lot. We are losing elders. And we have to anchor the traditions they've begun. I think that's really important.
Yeah. Anita, Casey?
I think my traditions were very strict as a young person, but there were so many connections, and when I came to be a pagan, it was like coming home. I can't explain it any other way. But what I loved about the Christian tradition and being raised Roman Catholic was my mother's insistence on all of us attending midnight mass together on Christmas Eve.
Right.
And the ritual was so mysterious and so exotic and evocative, and there was incense and there was elaborate costuming and a beautiful altar, and everything was said in Latin, and I felt so connected to it all, but yet it didn't seem quite right in my heart. It wasn't something I could believe in. And then, of course, becoming a pagan and actually attending my first rituals, I saw all of the same things, really. And it was an awakening. It was an awakening to me. But I remember those wonderful times sitting in mass and just smelling the incense and, you know, praying. And my mother was very big on the having a New Year's resolution. And what are you going to change about this coming up year that you kind of messed up with in this year that's going, you know, that we're coming out of? And so she was very adamant that we would all discuss that and talk about that. And, of course, I was forced to go to Mass. I didn't have a choice in the matter there. As long as I was living in the household, I was going to be attending Mass. But I just loved the whole process of ritual. I just loved it from the beginning. So that's really all I can share. That's a big memory for me. And whenever I'm with others at solstice time, I always think, I go back to think about the high mass. And I don't even think they do the high masses in Catholic Church anymore. But they were beautifully done back in the day. So
thank you. That was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Casey, what about you? Memories?
The memories I have are more Christmas based, and that's fine, and I celebrate that.
Yeah.
And I still celebrate that to this day.
Oh, me too.
But yeah, so, and it's all wonderful and all fine. But I really remember, my memories are more feelings and sensory processing items like smells and things like that. But I remember the magical feeling of the whole season. The whole season from Samhain or Halloween through Christmas or Yule or whatever we're going to call it, being the most magical time of the year. And really, really staying in touch with my childlike part of myself, which, you know, we all try to do from time to time, especially if you're a pagan, we're always trying to stay in contact with our child within us and bring it out every once in a while to play. So my fondest memories from adulthood are being actually with Ruthann and, like we said, like drumming just laughing and playing and I'm using silly words like frolicking, but I mean it in the truest sense. Running around throughout the night and you know, and just enjoying the presence with one another and feeling just little sparks of magic that you used to feel as a child when everything was wonder and awe. That's my most favorite memory.
Okay,
that I still have today.
I understand what you're saying, Casey. It's really wonderful. And I also wanted to compliment you on bringing up that time within that we use during the dark of the year. it is a time to go within, and it's a hibernation that's very important, and I really thank you for bringing that up. Not a lot of people don't remember these things, really, with the rush and the pace and the commercialism and the commodifying of the holiday. Also, I no longer put money in the pot for the ringing Santa because they're not too friendly with gay folks over there. So I don't. But somebody is messing around with their mic.
Wow, that was it.
I guarantee it's Ruth Ann.
Probably. So yes, I'm going to have to get off. So I just want to wish everybody a wonderful, wonderful Yule.
Okay.
And Christmas. If whatever. Kwanzaa,
right.
Whatever
all
you're celebrating. It's this is a special season, like Casey was talking, the energy and everything. So people at this time are thinking peace, goodwill. So whatever path you're taking to that mountaintop, you know, enjoy and may it be blessed.
Well, why don't we close the circle now, and then you can get off and we'll round up our ceremony here. Does that sound good?
Okay.
So beginning with the East again.
8 minutes until showtime.
Breathe. Connect. Be the air within and without. There is no separation. We are all the same being. One being, many eyes. All our perspectives, unique yet connected. Love is the law. Thank you, Air, for being with us this evening.
Thank you, Air. Fire, element of the South, with your heat, your passion, we thank you for coming, spending this time with us. And as you go, we ask that you leave a part of the passion, a part of the knowledge. The knowledge of community. And learning, which is what it seems that we're about. We're learning the ways of peace. So help us to accomplish that, even though you must be elsewhere also. So stay with us. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Fire.
Thank you, Fire.
We honor and pay homage to the spirit of water, divine essence of our souls. Help us, your children, to unfold. We thank you for the divine, pure, clear, fluid essence of life. And so it is.
Thank you, water.
Go ahead and talk to each other, I think.
Okay.
Anita?
Thank you for being in our circle, Elements of Earth, for joining us, encircling us with your love, reminding us that this is about the birth of the Sun King, the Sun God, and also it's the birth of new things to come in the next year. So mote it be.
So mote
it be.
Casey?
The spirit of 10,000 times 10,000 times 10 more thousand names. Thank you for your presence here. Your presence is always and forever. It's never not here. And we continue to acknowledge you as we go forth
and enjoy the rest of the dark half of the year as we move into our light half as well, and enjoy that with the same fervor. And blessings be to you. So mote it be.
So mote it be.
Yes, it is.
And may the spirit of Yule remain with us throughout the season here, the holiday season, into the new year. So we've released our circle, and we have, I'm getting an echo, guys, so I'm sorry.
That's not me this time.
So we've released our circle. I thank each one of you coming together for another on-air ceremony. I hope to have you all here again. We get better and better at it. And what it is allowing people to understand that working with acknowledging the different elements and grounding ourselves to the Earth Mother when we come on to do these ceremonies enables healing, and it brings an awareness up of how precious our planet is too. So for that, I give great thanks. And I thank each one of you for being with us tonight.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Thank you, my brothers and sisters.
Thank you all.
Merry Yule, everyone.
Merry Yule. Ho, ho, ho. Bye-bye.
And a hat tip to the Southern Hemisphere, which is experiencing the summer solstice.
That's true.
Say habargane for Kwanzaa.
Yeah.
All right. John, Nana, will you, for the last couple of minutes, will you talk a little about Kwanzaa? People still don't really understand.
Kwanzaa is a celebration of family, culture, and community, and it commemorates the harvest of the fruit, the fruit being the pearls or the reproductive beauty or treasures in our society, our children, as well as our elders. So it's a time to come together to reflect upon ancestry, customs, and traditions, and to harness these energies for the next generation so that they are preserved in perpetuity. And that's what it is. So it's, once again, a coming together. It involves music, song, dance, telling folk stories, and just fellowshipping, feasting upon the riches of our various personalities and cultures.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you, and we will have two ceremonies in Miami, one on Saturday the 28th, 4 o'clock, at the African Heritage Cultural Arts Center, and Saturday the 27th and Sunday the 28th at the Little Haiti Cultural Center, 4:30 in the afternoon. Both Kwanzaa ceremonies are free and open to the public.
Wonderful. Thank you. We are at
Thank
the
you.
End. Our show, and I'm just going to play us out with a little ditty here. Thank you all again, and Merry Yule to everyone. Keep the spirit of the season all through to you. Thank you all for listening in, and we will be back with another on-air ceremony in February. Check it out. Thank you for listening. Ra, are you still plugged into me?